It's been a long day.
I bet.
And welcome to another episode of the Airgun Geeks. This one's on the road to Armac 2022. Bill, how you doing?
Fantastic, Patrick. It's a bit warm here today. The last couple of days, I think yesterday we hit triple digits, which in my area doesn't really happen very often. So it's been pretty dang warm.
Wow. Yeah, today it was almost 90 by us. It's supposed to be in the 90s this week coming up, but we will be in Armac, where I don't know what the weather's going to be.
I don't either. I haven't looked.
So this is going to be crazy, because we've been doing a lot of talking and figuring out what we're going to do, what we're going to say, who we're going to try and get. I'm seeing all the we're on the road pictures and videos on Facebook, and I'm like, oh boy, looks like everyone's going to be there this year. So it's rather exciting.
Very much so. And, you know, a lot of these higher profile YouTubers, you know, they have to insulate themselves to some extent, just because they're getting input and contacts from everybody. So being able to walk up to them and make that personal introduction and say, hey, we've got this really cool podcast. Would you like to come play? Mm-hmm. And we'll set everything up. We'll send you the link. Just tell me an email address or a phone number to send that stuff to. We promise not to harass you. We will do everything we can to make this as easy as possible for you. And that's going to be big in getting some more diverse talent on the podcast.
I totally agree. And, you know, I didn't think it was stressful enough trying to figure out what to do, how to do it, where to go. But I decided to sell the house and move. So my lighting is not all that good right now, but we finally got it all done today. And then I'm going away for a week. So needless to say, Bonnie loves me right now.
Oh, I'm sure. She's, you know, the two most stressful points in the average human being's life are moving and divorce. And you're flirting with the second one.
I know I don't know if I'll make it up to 10 years, you know, which would be this year, would be our 10 year anniversary. But yeah, I know it's like, you know, trying to make sure that the other house is all cleaned up for the new owners and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then realizing how many air gun stuff do I have? And then Bonnie saw it and I'm like, two Tacoma truckloads.
Wow.
And a quarter of that was lead.
Wow.
Of different calibers. I'm like, oh my God, I have so many pellets. And then where did this gun come from? Hmm. Yeah, forgot about that one. You know, so it's been a good time, but they've all been sort of put away for now. And then when I come back, we'll get them all in their proper homes. So, so I know you were at Armac last year. Is there anything that I should be preparing for or should bring?
Don't bring anything that you want to have clean when you leave, because the dust at Armac, at least when I was there last, I'm still cleaning Armac dust. As you saw at the Midwest Airgun show last week, my cash box for my table setup still had Armac dust on it. Yes, I'm a terrible housekeeper. I'll give you that. But that stuff is magnetic. It does not come off easily. So, and while we're on the Midwest Airgun Show, real quick, I want to make a couple of clarifications, because my boy Joe Dorian has given me some corrections on some of my namings for things that he introduced me to while I was there. One of them was my boy Henson, right here, Joe. I know his name is Henson. I called him Hendrick on my Facebook page, and I blasted it out on Instagram, all over the place. This poor guy is going to end up with a identity crisis, and I don't want that to happen. His true name is Henson, and he's not an Iron Eagle Owl, as my friend Patrick misled me. He is an Eagle Owl, like Eagle Scout. So just want to, I want to set the, clear the air with Joe and let him know that, that we all love him, and we want to make sure we get the facts straight, because we're so far really terrible journalists.
fake news.
Yeah.
That was such a good turnout. And then Chad from Airgun Advisor put out a lovely video.
Yes.
I was shocked on how it went.
Flat Broke Air Gunner also did a killer video too.
Yes, he did. Yeah, you beat me to it. Yeah, and to get to meet him was also cool too.
Yep.
And Joe graciously donated the time, and people were given donations to take a picture with Henson, the Eagle Owl. And he behaved himself, and so did the people. Joe, I don't know if he behaved himself, but I think he did. He did good. He did good. What else? I think we asked everyone who's going to RMAC, so we'll see. We'll see what goes on. So I get to pack up and find clothes out of a box, jump on an airplane at 10 o'clock tonight, because you guys will be hearing this Monday morning, so 10 p.m. Eastern Standard. I'll be on an airplane heading to Denver from Cleveland, and then sort of sleeping in the airport at Denver, and then jumping on another airplane, and hopefully crossing paths with you, Bill, and jumping in your Tacoma. Oh, no, you have a Tundra, right?
Yes, but I'm not going to be in the Tundra, because if I took the Tundra to RMAC again this time of year with the $7+ a gallon fuel, Toyota trucks are not known for their mileage.
They are
at not. All. And mine is a 2001 Gen 1 Tundra.
Oh.
That would not be a good idea to drive that car. Unless Patrick was funding the fuel, then I would be okay with it.
I can. But, it's $100 to fill my Tacoma. No, that's okay.
my wife's mother took her on a cruise of European cities. Really a cool cruise. But while she's gone, I get to play with her hybrid. Oh. And I'm going to be taking the little hybrid to pick up Patrick. It's gonna be tight. I've been wrestling with whether or not to bring the solar charger set it up and let people use it to charge their equipment while they're there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to bring my compressor because I don't want somebody to say, "Oh my God, I would have won that match had I not filled up with air from that guy's compressor and my regulator stuck." I don't want to be responsible for that. I know it's the coward's way out, but I absolutely believe in the compressor. I don't want to accept that responsibility. I would love to, but I am going to bring it so that people can charge phones and any electronics that they bring. If I can fit it in the car comfortably and still leave room for Patrick, which, thankfully Patrick's not a really big guy. Mm-mm. So I can squeeze him in, partly over the seat, maybe in the upper, in the airspace along the top of the load, might be able to fit him in there, but I'm kidding. We'll get you there comfortably. I'm actually, according to the magic Google lady, that trip is 11 hours and 7 minutes for me.
Oh.
I'm going to throw down the gauntlet and say I'll make it in 10. I love long drives. I throw an audiobook on my phone and I just jam. And when I stop, I literally get fuel. I have water in the car. I've got most of my food that I need for the trip already in the car. So I'm not stopping for anything but fuel typically.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a restroom break once or twice on the way there, but I like to make tracks and I like to get there quickly. I don't drive as fast as your previous co-host on the Air Geeks. but I try to keep my average speed right where I'm not going to be noticed by the nice police officers that do a great job and shouldn't hassle me on my way to Utah. Nudge, nudge.
I hear you.
But you know, I'm stoked to be back at Utah Air Guns. You haven't had that experience yet. And to me, going to Utah Air Guns, and I'm going to bring the toy that I got at the Midwest Air Gun Show. I'm going to bring that with me. Because interestingly enough, I tried to just spurn some discussion on a topic that I didn't think was a hot button topic, but apparently I walked in the room and there was already blood on the floor and I didn't realize that I was stepping on a landmine. But I simply asked the question, you know, what was behind the Hunter Field Target pistol class rule that you could only have 12 power magnification on your scope. I get that you don't need more than 12x at 30 yards. I mean, that's even pretty generous in my mind. And I just asked the question, you know, because if you look at the rifle rules for Hunter Field Target in AAFTA, they allow you to have whatever magnification the scope is. It doesn't matter. You just have to, it has to have a 16x mark, and you can't have it set any higher than 16x. And the nice thing about that is that it really opens up the market space for scopes. I mean, you have a lot to choose from. And I thought, why not have that rule written the same way for the pistol class? And man, it was like a lightning rod. And what really struck me as comical in all of this was that people weren't reading the question I was asking. They all jumped to, why do you need more magnification in pistol class? And I'm like, that's not what I said. At all. I wasn't saying that there needs to be more magnification in pistol class. I just said we need to open up the availability of optics, because I don't know, Patrick, you get to see this in a lot more light than I do, because you work in the commercial side of this business directly. But you know, when I was looking at scopes and I was looking at what previous winners in those events used, I'll tell you, 80% of those scopes aren't made anymore. And I thought, well, you know, what is it about 12X scopes? And what I saw was that the market availability of optics with a 12X limit is really, really shrunk. In the last 10 years, that availability of units in that class has shrunk. And there really aren't any scopes that I would say, yeah, that's a good one. And it's limited at 12X. And one fella, and I still owe him an answer on the Facebook page for Airgun Geeks, and I will get to it. I've just been thinking about how I want to word it so I don't engage someone in another discourse on why I'm, why I'm silly. But you know, he asked what scopes are you looking at that you would like to see included? I'm like, well, I'll tell you what, I have an Optizon EVX and I actually put it on that HW44. Yeah, it's a rifle scope and it looks absolutely ridiculous sitting on that pistol. I mean, it looks, your son would love that gun because it really looks like something right out of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With that monster optic on it. And I got to tell you, that thing is amazing out to 30 yards, out to 35 yards for HFT pistol. Mm. And, you know, that's with it capped at 12X. And, you know, a very wise person in the field target community early on told me that it was actually good to get a scope with more magnification than you're using, because when you're at those lower indications, you're probably going to have really good image quality.
Mm-hmm.
The image Correct. Quality gets roached when you get up near the upper end, and it doesn't really matter where that upper end is. It's just, you know, the manufacturers put in as the minimum amount of money to get you the maximum number of X's that they think you're going to buy. So that last 30% of the range, you're not really getting usable range out of that.
That's so correct.
Me using this Optosan EVX, which has really good glass, I love the reticle in it. It's not legal. I can't use it in a match. And, you know, I've got guys saying, oh, all you need is a bug buster. That's all I use. And I'm a champion. And, you know, that's great. I have very similar thoughts about UTG as my friend Adam does. I've had them, and I've never been really overly impressed with them. You know, they're a great inexpensive scope. They are. They do that just great, and they're actually pretty reliable. But I'm not a big fan of them. And, you know, I'm not saying that everybody should run out and get an Optosan EVX. The only reason I have one is because I went to RMAC last year and Utah Air Guns put one up on the raffle at the banquet, and my silly butt ended up winning it. And I thought, you know, I would actually use it on one of the rifles, but I actually set up both of the rifles with Element Helixes. And I liked them both being the same, so that when I got used to a process and everything, I was using the same optic and the same reticle on both rifles. So
mm-hmm.
training wise, it just made things easier for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, they're both very close in price. They're within 20, 30 bucks, I think, of each other. At least they were when I looked at them. The EVX wins for clarity. It's got a really crisp, no vignetting around the edges. It's a really, really nice scope. Now, I did find that there is a one with a 30 millimeter objective from Optosan, mm-hmm. with a 12x limit. And one of the things, the reason I'm bringing this gun with me on my trip to go pick you up, is because I want to see that scope, because Utah Air Gun says they have it in stock. I want to see that little Optosan on this gun on their range, because the range is 30 yards.
Oh, okay.
So very easily, I can clip my little focus laminated sheet, which has the film industry focus test patterns on it. I can put that on the target tram on Utah Air Gun's range, and I can send it back and forth, and I can see how crisp that image is when I get focus on. And I know it's not as important with pistol class. I'm well aware of that. And really, I have to say, this HW44 shoots so flat that this Optosan scope also claims, this little one with a 30 millimeter objective, it claims to not really need a lot of parallax correction because it mounts so low to the barrel. It's so close to the barrel that the amount of lopiness in that trajectory that you see is not as severe with that optic. And I am thinking that if that pans out, it might be actually a really good solution. But you're going to be with me, and we're going to test it out. We're going to see what's up and make the best decision possible. But if those rules were different, honestly, I would leave that Optisan EVX right where it is, and I would compete with that. And I know that there's wind in the trees that suggests that a ruling is coming in the upcoming end of the season with the Nationals in Puerto Rico that will possibly be a update to that rule. They haven't said what direction they're leaning towards, and in fact the guy who leaked that said he couldn't comment one way or the other. But I hope that they're bringing some reason to that. And I'm not saying that the current rule is unreasonable. I'm just saying it disenfranchises the shooter.
Well, at least they're open to, you know, things change over time and whatnot. At least they're open to it instead of just like, no, like some sports are less like, no, no. So that's always exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. Very much so.
You know, cool. So I know you had a couple other things you wanted to chat about tonight.
You're going to have to remind me what they were, because I know that was the one big one that I wanted to talk about. What else did I want to talk about, Patrick?
I think we were going to talk about, there's so much we talked about, and my brain is fried. Well, the first thing, since it's on my mind, is next Monday's podcast will not come out next Monday. First off,
hard to have a podcast that comes out on Monday not come out on Monday.
Correct, Patrick. Correct. But there's an exception.
Ah, very good.
I'll be in Armac, and I'll be just getting back, and I want to make sure that all the audio from all the different people that I'm going to interview, that we're going to interview, I should say, get processed correctly. So the weight and the tension, what's the word I'm looking for? Suspense will be worth it. So it'll come out. I'm thinking I should be able to get it out Wednesday, 1 a.m. for our early listeners on the other side of the pond.
You are aware that Utah does have very good internet capabilities there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kidding.
But my computer that does the fanciness will be back in Ohio.
You know they have special bags for bringing those computers to places.
The wife won't let me. She'd be computerless.
Now the truth.
Yeah.
I got it.
The most important person cannot go without the computer.
I understand.
But things are getting close. Maybe I'll get a laptop next year or something. We'll have to see how the podcast goes.
I got to tell you, I'm on the fence. I would really like to bring my laptop and be able to at least get a episode of the Target Forge video content out while I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, when I traveled with my really nice Lenovo laptop, I came home with a broken screen. And I think it was absolutely my fault. I think I had a piece of hardware or a screw sitting on the keyboard, and I went and slammed that top down, and that was the end of it. And what was funny was when I realized that the screen was broken, it was like 2 days before my warranty expired.
Oof.
And I called them up and I said, hey, my screen is really wonky. And they're like, oh, send us a picture. And they're like, oh, yeah, that screen's definitely bad. We'll get a tech out there and get that fixed for you. and you know, they came out and put one in. And I didn't know at the time that it was a broken screen. I thought it was just poor display, but no. And when I thought back on it, I'm like, I think I know when that might have happened. But anyway.
So
not totally not air gun related, but definitely air gun content related, because, you know, at the end of the day, you and I need some computing power in order to do the things that we do.
Correct. Correct. And I'm going to see if we can do any Facebook Lives while we're there.
Because that would be fun.
I don't know if you've looked at the group lately, but we're up to 721 members. And I have a few I have to look at tonight. The one thing I will say is, like you said last podcast, please answer the questions. They seem a little silly. A couple people caught me spelling foul wrong or using the wrong foul. But that's just to see if you're reading. It's a little ha-ha for me. But it makes sure that you're not a bot is the main thing. I do appreciate all the people that have been watching, for people selling, all types of stuff. Airgun Geek swag will not come off of someone else's website. I will make sure that you guys know when I have swag ready, which will be soon, very, very soon. It's getting the website built and the e-commerce, and I got a really nice lady that I got that's doing it, and I'll advertise her business and all that here very, very soon. But thanks for adminning, you know, it for me and bringing it to my attention. I do appreciate it. And the conversations have been absolutely awesome. I've been looking at them. And, oh, God, there's so many things on here. It's so cool. So make sure you check it out, Airgun Geeks on Facebook. Just answer the questions, and we'll get you in, and then you can start chatting with everyone. So
that sounds like fun.
It's crazy. It's people from asking sub 12 foot-pound questions on that side of the pond, all the way to the big boar stuff. And, hey, what's your opinion on this? And everyone's been really cool. It depends on, you know, what's your purpose? That's the big thing. What is your purpose? Are you punching paper? Or are you hunting, pesting? What are you doing? Because you don't want to go taking a 177, you know, to go shoot pigeons at 50 yards.
Does that mean I should cancel my wildebeest hunt at the end of the month with my 20 foot pound 177 gun?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll get on that.
Yeah. Unless it's a virtual hunt, then you got those special pellets. But so let's see.
You know what I got in my email today?
What'd you get?
Do you remember a guy on YouTube built a rifle cart for his friends in Ohio, and he gave them that cart a few months ago?
I vaguely remember.
Do you remember that? You remember that?
Vaguely, yeah.
You know, I did two videos on that build. One kind of talking about the choice of the cart and stuff like that. And then the second one really digging into it and getting to the roots of what I thought was good design for a cart like that. That wasn't super tippy or had a good balanced CG and all that stuff. And you know, when you create content like that and you push it out in the world, and you know, you might get some comments on the YouTube channel like, oh, that was really cool, or thank you, or you know, something like that. But it's when someone takes one of your concepts that you introduced, and I'm not claiming to be the guy that invented the bob cart as a rifle cart. I brought my flavor to it. I brought my skills to it and made some 3D printed parts and put that together. And when that gets reflected back to you through the eyes of the viewer, where they've taken your idea and they've done their little twist on it and they're using it for a completely different purpose. Well, still a gun purpose. This guy, and I'm going to put his PDF that he did on my website so that people can download it and look at it, because I think he did a spectacular job preparing this document. I mean, it's no joke. It really, the amount of time he put in taking and editing photos and writing words to go along with them, and it is really spectacular to see the level he took this to. And the reason that he took it to that level is because he's going to be presenting it to his local gun club next month. So this guy put this PDF together to use as a screen walkthrough while he's giving his lecture on how to build a rifle cart. And I'm like, how cool is that? That's, you know, this cool. guy, this guy took that idea and ran with it. And, you know, he bought my fasteners for the 3/4 inch conduit. We got them to him and he put this thing together and it looks fantastic. Guess what he's using it for?
What's he using it for?
Sporting clays.
What? Sporting clays?
Yes. He's got, you know, I mean, I don't know if you've ever shot sporting clays.
I have. Yeah.
Most of those guys don't have cheap shotguns. No. They're you know, they're Belgian Brownings. You see Perazzis. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of really high dollar powder guns in that game. And this guy, you know, used my basic framework and my parts. He downloaded my 3D files from printables.com. He had a friend local to him that printed them for him. And then he took and built his cart from that video. And I, you know, to me, it was a huge, it's a wonderful feeling to see your idea reflected back in the eyes of the viewer. And, you know, there have been others. There was a guy at the Midwest Air Gun Show. He came up to me and was, you know, had his phone up. And he's going through all the photos on his phone to show me his build and what mm-hmm. he did. And, you know, that kind of stuff is just, it's fun to see. It's fun to see your stuff getting used. And, heck, I hope, you know, 10,000 people order hardware for that build and make a bunch of carts, because they really are great carts.
Yeah, it's good to see things come full circle. And that's why we do what we're doing now, you know. Get the info out, links, connect people, networking, so that we can have fun. You know, it's not always about pulling the trigger. Most of the time it is, but not all the time. You know, it's the adventure, like going from Ohio to Utah. The adventure. Yeah. All the people jumping in, like Ken. I like watching Ken when he leaves Florida and he's heading to Utah in his big RV with his golf cart and his his wife, and I think he's bringing the mules, the dogs, his Great Danes and stuff, and just the adventure and seeing what they run into. I heard you talk to PJ Clark today, or got a little message that he's on the road.
He is actually traveling right now. The dude just got off a plane from Europe. Touring yeah. England, and he is in a car on his way to Armac. That is air gun passion at its best right there.
Yeah, that was cool what him and his buddy did last year, given their different segments along the trail to Armac. That was pretty cool.
Do you know if John is traveling with him this year?
I have no idea. I'll keep an eye on Facebook, but I have no idea.
I meant to ask him when he put up a couple of comments that tagged me in on Instagram. And I meant to ask him if John was coming. John is a super nice guy. He actually would have been, if Target Forge, if it was in the cards for Target Forge to have been a sponsor this year, I can tell you that John would have been at the top of a very short list of shooters that I would have picked to wear the Target Forge colors and shoot for Target Forge. Mm-hmm. Because when you sponsor, you get a spot or two of shooters. If you're a sponsor that's paid before they open the gates for the rest of the shooters to sign up, you can secure one or two spots. At least that's the way it was last year. And I'll tell you what, John was on that list, and it'll be good to see him again or talk to PJ. And PJ's a fantastic guy. I can't wait to see him. I actually have some very, very special items that are airgun target related for him to test for me.
Iron him candy is what I call
him
it.
him and Tom Adams both. I want them both to put some pellets on this stuff. One of the things that Target Forge has been wrestling with in a exceptionally challenging metals market the steel market is absolutely insane. When we decided to push the Chinese out of the U.S. steel market, the U.S. mills were now over-constrained. They could not produce metal fast enough to fill that void that not having the Chinese in that market space created. So, unfortunately, they have discontinued. There isn't a mill in the U.S., at least that I'm aware of, that still makes 3/16 AR-500. They've just discontinued it. They're like, yeah, there wasn't enough market demand for it for us to not focus on all these other things that mm-hmm. there is huge market demand for. So it's not that it was unpopular or nobody bought it. It became the small fish
yep.
in that pond. And I can't get 3/16 AR-500 anymore. So, you know, it's not a big deal for my weldments because, you know, okay, you just substitute a thin piece of metal for a piece of metal that's 1/16 thicker. Not a problem, right? Where it becomes a problem is in the spinner targets, because, you know, I've invested quite a lot of my own money in inventory of those stainless steel spacers and all of the pieces that stack up to make that fastener solution for the Devil's Eye high energy. Mm-hmm. And not having AR-500 anymore, I don't know how those things are going to react. And I've been traveling so much lately that I haven't had the time to devote to testing them. So we've got some special new shapes out. A lot of them have come from customers' requests. They're like, hey, I really appreciate these Devil's Eye high energy, but man, even that 1 inch is a bear to hit at 100 yards. You've got to have a good gun and a really stable a really stable rest to hit a 1 inch steel spinner mm-hmm. at 100 yards. They really weren't designed for that range, but a lot of people like them out that far. But I have created some other sizes that I think will get people really jazzed on that and allow even more expansion into that whole concept of a organic 3D shooting environment, you know, in a wooded environment or even with some posts or, you know, local trees. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I love mine. In fact, I just pulled the lower energy ones. I just pulled them out of the tree as I moved. And those were not easy to get out of the tree.
That's hysterical.
But the one thing you brought up when we were at the Midwest Air Gun Show, which you got to make sure you pound them all the way in to the weld.
Yes.
The one I did not, and it was a little bent, but not horrible. It was maybe, there was like a quarter inch sticking out. But cleaned them up, bent it straight up. No good. We're all good now. So, but very the big good. Thing is they had light rust on them from Ohio, yep. you know, and I didn't lube them but once just because I was weird. I threw a little drop of ballast all in there and spun them and pounded them in the tree. So yeah, I love them. I'd go out there and go ping, 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 go back in the house. You know, that was my little therapy, and it was exciting.
Do you know where the original Devil's Eye concept was born?
No, I do not.
There were a number of videos out of England that show their continuous war against the gray squirrel. The gray squirrel got into England, and it's considered an invasive specimen or species there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, all of our friends over there with their 12 foot pound guns are just chasing these gray bushytails all over the place, because they do a tremendous amount of damage to the trees, and they're pushing the native species out of their environment. So mm-hmm. they're very serious about hunting them. And I saw some guys that had these little metal tags hanging off their squirrel feeders. Because what most of them do is they'll fill up a feeder on the regular. So they'll stop by every week or so and feed, you know, fill up these feeders, and the squirrels get into that pattern. And as you know, as a pest elimination expert. It's all about developing those patterns with these creatures. And, you know, guess what? If you put peanut butter out at 9 p.m. every night, and you go out there about 4 or 5 nights later, you're going to have a whole bunch of rat-shaped targets to deal with. And it's a heck of a lot of fun. But, you know, trying to hunt for pest animals can sometimes be, they don't necessarily cooperate, or you're going to create enough of a stimulus that they're going to run and hide. So creating an environment where they're, you know, they know that the food's going to be there at some time. There's only going to be so much of it, so there's pressure for them to get to the food early. That creates a great opportunity to clean house on some vermin.
That's correct. Yeah.
And that's what the original Devil's Eye was made for, was to be able to drive that into a tree or into your squirrel feeder, right there. So you can check your zero before your hunting window and make sure that everything is good, because as you know, the angle that you're shooting has a profound effect on where your point of impact is going to be.
Correct.
So being able to verify that is really, really nice for not needing a second follow-up shot.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I've watched a lot of like the shooting show and stuff. They got the squirrel feeder. I got the little devil's eye next to it.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, that's fun.
I will say their devil's eyes are crap. And if you brought them to the U.S., you would shred them. The first time you started hitting them with 20, 30 foot-pounds, they would be done. My original devil's eye goes up to 30 foot-pounds, which I have to apologize, because at some point we edited the text on the website for the listing for that. And at some point I deleted inadvertently the power rating for the original devil's eye, which is 30 foot-pounds. And I had a customer it was 2 weeks ago. He sent me a picture, and it was of a devil's eye, a regular devil's eye that was ripped out of the tree and bent. And he's like, "Is this supposed to happen? Is that how these work?" I'm like, "No, that's not how they work." I said, What did you hit it with?" And he's like, "Oh, I hit it with a 60 foot pound, you know, blah de blah, whatever it was." I'm like, "Well, there's your problem." I said, number one, like you alluded, you got to drive them all the way up to the taper on the weld so that spacer is right into the wood. And number two, you need to make sure that you have a good piece of wood. You know, Doug fir, standard dimensional lumber works great. It really grips the shank of that nail. But if it's a rotted fence post, it's probably not going to hold there. It is subject to the quality of the wood. Green wood, like most trees, are amazing. Oak, maple, pine, any of those green woods are really good. Willow is terrible. Willow, I don't even know how willow got into the hardwood class, but that tree is more like balsa wood. It's really awful. Anyway, enough about that.
So you say 30 foot pounds. So is there a distance? Like if they put it out at 100 yards, can they do 60? I'm just going to be devil's advocate here.
If you're using a pellet, sure. Because as you know, you know, the ballistic coefficient of a quality slug, gosh, especially these Patriot slugs that are coming, this Gen 2 Patriot slug looks astonishingly good. Coupled with barrels that are designed for them, oh my gosh. That is going to bring a whole new level of accuracy to this game. And, you know, the difference being that the amount of energy you're going to retain downrange with a slug goes way up. You know, the pellet is actually designed to have air brakes. It slows down very quick, and it's good. You know, people think, oh, well, that's low performance. No, it's great. It limits penetration. The fact that they don't carry forever is by design. And, you know, I'm sure you know in your work, if you were to go and rip a bunch of slugs, through some muskrats and end up tearing up structure or creating a lot of damage, you know, for pass through and stuff like that, you probably wouldn't get called back on that job.
Or God forbid you miss.
Miss Patrick.
It says, God forbid, it happens every once in a while. You know, a fish jumps up, some water hits it, it moves over. You know, they don't go as far. You know,
yeah,
and it's all about what your purpose with that, definitely, because these air guns have turned into like shotguns. You can, what I mean by that is ammo. So I like you went right where I wanted you to with these Gen 2 Patriots. So I've been waiting and watching, and I'm like, because I'm a little bit of a Matt Dubber and Rolf fan, and I'm like, what are they doing now? You know, with the new stuff that's going on with FX, with their power blocks and barrels and tensioning systems and all of the above, and some of the stuff we don't even know about, these Gen 2s are very interesting. And on top of it, they're doing 25 and 30 cal.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, but it's all about being, you know, proper cost per shot. It's like, because it can get a little pricey, but, you know, you're paying shipping and all that other stuff coming from, you know, South Africa.
As pricey as they are, they're still not as pricey as firearms ammunition right now.
They are not. No. And you know, make sure you check out the video on their Gen 2. It's really cool what they're doing. So
it was an amazingly well done video. I mean, I Matt is no slouch in the video creation world. Yeah. And I use the word creation because it's not that he's just good at editing. It's not that he's just good at photography. But he's effing brilliant at creating compelling, beautiful stories that are a pleasure to watch. That's the level that guy's on. You know, one day I hope to be half of what he is in the YouTube world. And you know, I don't deal with enough content that would get the kind of scope and cinematographic view that he gets. But I was blown away at the quality of that video.
Yeah. I'm going to say, check out Ox Wagon Diaries. If you haven't yet, definitely look at that. One, Bonnie wants to go there. I'm like, that camp he goes to, sleeping in the ox wagons and stuff, and then to go shoot the monkeys and all that. And definitely the current video, because now they don't have a drought. The river's running. Everything's green. So that's really difficult to shoot stuff. But nonetheless, you know, all the animals got lots and lots of food now. So, and I think him doing those videos and talking about that that camp, that farm that he's on for the Ox Wagon Diaries, absolutely awesome. And then all the people, I remember when he was asking for donations, they just flooded in. So it's, Matt's got a good heart. And it's, I saw him, it was him, 22 Plankster, Rick Rem, and Ted Beer.
Iraqi
8888.
Yes.
Yes. We're all in a picture down in the Nashville get together. I don't know what it's exactly called, but I was like, they're on this side of the pond. and those are some big hitters. I should say big shooters. Right there in that picture. And I was like, wow. That's good to see. We're getting a little bit back to normal, the new normal. But I'm glad to see that Matt's going to be at RMAC. Ted's going to be there. I want to see Rick and all them. I've talked to Rick, never met the guy, but I can't wait, even though he's a state over. But it's going to be exciting. It's going to be absolutely exciting. So before we go, is there anything that's left that you think we should tease the audience with, or...
I do. One thing I want to ask you, Patrick. How many M3 impacts do you think will be on the podium for Benchrest?
Three.
Wow, you think it's going to be a sweep?
Yeah.
Wow, That's a pretty bold statement. I'm not disagreeing with you, brother. I am not disagreeing with you at all. I think the Impact M3 is going to do well there. I think it's going to kick ass in precision rifle as well.
Yeah. With these tensioning barrel systems they have, it's game changing. The only thing that even the gunslinger, you got me going. If someone shows up with a pump, the pump action for the M3, it's over. That thing's as fast as Ted's hand. Oh, Tom Adams' hand with shooting with that Daisy. It's like a freaking automatic.
Yeah, it's like a blur.
But maybe they'll bring the pump back. I'm seeing it all over Airgun Nation. Speaking of Airgun Nation, I'm going to get to meet Michael there, but you got to check out Airgun Nation's new website. It is completely revamped. That where I'm like a new guy going, where is everything? But did you notice what's on there? There is a link that connects podcasts.
Wow, that's freaking awesome.
Who's at the top? I'm patting my back. Thank you very much. Very well done.
Yep. Very well done.
Yep. So
it's funny that you mentioned that because when I got back from the Midwest Airgun Show, I actually tried to put a post up thanking all of my new friends in Ohio for welcoming me and making it, you know, just a wonderful experience for me. And I tried to post a picture of this guy right here and my table set up at the show. And it was like, I kept getting this error that I couldn't post a picture. I'm like, oh, what the heck is going on? And then I got a note from moderator 3, whoever that is. I suspect it might be Michael. But I get a message saying, Hey, don't worry. The photo upload will be fixed tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The new version of the site is launching. And I'm like, well, now this is interesting. And I have been back to look at it. I haven't been back to actually post those pictures. I was able to post them because I have a Google photo account, and I think I was able to get a link to the photos posted there. But that was really, really cool. It looks like it seems to work much more crisp.
I agree.
Now it's like it pops, whereas before it was kind of like, do you remember the old Yellow Page?
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, it was like, you know, waiting, you're swirling meatball, you know, like, is this page going to load or what? And it's definitely popping now.
Mm-hmm. I like how there's the members rating is right up there. You could see where they're at as far as the ranking. I'm still working on understanding it, but instead of having the search for a member, because, you know, it's scary dropping money across PayPal or Venmo, you know, you start dumping a grand and you're like, hopefully they send it.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. But so you're sitting there looking and whatnot, you know, and it's, you know, I just did something with, I think it's Big Tin Boat, great guy. You know, he's like, yeah, look me up. No problem. Blah, blah, blah. Packages stuff correctly. Make sure I say, oh, I'll give you a good rating, you know, just so that everyone else knows. I push everyone to Airgun Nation. You have to. It's literally the metropolis of the airgun world. Everyone's there. You know, and if you want to know something, don't ask a question and not expect them, you know, 100 answers. You know, you get all.
Well, you know, air gunners, you could ask 10 air gunners a question and get 12 different answers.
Yeah. Some people change their mind halfway through. So, all right. Well, we got a very exciting week coming up.
We do.
I like flying on airplanes. I get to go to Utah. I get to meet all different types of people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And then I get to come on here and tell you guys all about it. So
fantastic.
Keep an eye on the Facebook page. I'm going to try doing posts on there. Bill's going to be working as his Target Forge rep and assisting as a field reporter for the Airgun Geeks podcast.
Heck yeah. No, so, I definitely plan on being your co-host while we're there. You know, I'm kind of limited with what I can do with Target Forge while we're there, because I'm not a sponsor this year. So I can walk around, I can walk a walk and talk to people, but I'm really talking to them as a YouTube creator more than a Target Forge representative.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah.
Well, with that said, everyone have a good week, a safe week, and like always, stay geeky.